watching that, even though I've seen it quite a few times. I know all those people. They're important to me. I was thinking of having Gary come up and translate for me tonight, but I'm not sure he's quite got the knack yet, so I'll let him wait for a little while. My wife is looking forward to a corn dog. I told her that I had one of them recently, Clifford's corn dogs. That's the ones I wanted. Open your Bibles tonight, if you will, to Romans chapter 12. I said today, and I say it again, this has been a well-done missions conference. It has been excellent in every way. I've enjoyed it tremendously. I know the missionaries have as well. The banquet, again, was wonderful. But you know, many times we plan something and things just don't work out the way we plan them. And the larger the plan and the more complicated the plan, the less likely it is for that plan to work out. If you don't believe me, look at the federal budget. They just don't work out. I heard just this last week, and it was from an astronaut who said that when the lunar module was developed for landing on the moon, they forgot to put an outside door latch. And so the astronauts were informed not to shut the door when they got out. Well, I'm glad they didn't shut the door. But you know, God has a plan for our lives. And in a way, perhaps the most complicated plan, because our plan for our lives fits into the plan of God for the entire world and for all the centuries to come. And this plan that God has for our lives is an important part of our plan, what we need to do. In Romans chapter 12, we have two verses that everyone knows very well. But I'd like us tonight to take this concept of the will of God. We're talking about missions. And as we talk about missions, there's an obvious application here. There need to be missionaries. Now, there's another application from tonight's message. All of the young ladies need to have two or three more children immediately, okay? You got that tonight, all right? And I can say for a fact that my family is taking care of their part. Okay, Romans chapter 12. Let's read. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that do weep. Be of the same mind one to another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, overcome evil with good. Heavenly Father, tonight as we think about this concept, the will of God for our lives, help us, Lord, to consider these scriptural injunctions. Help us, Lord, to be determined in our lives to fulfill your will. I pray, Lord, for people tonight in whose hearts you are dealing as they think about their future. Lord, I cannot believe that in a church this size and a church with this orientation and a church that preaches your message, that there are not young people and young adults who have been touched by your Spirit and in whose lives you have determined, oh God, a larger ministry, a wider ministry, a ministry that perhaps entails the far reaches of this planet. God, work in our lives. Help us to do and accomplish your will this evening, because we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I had intended to preach another message tonight, a little more directly oriented toward giving, but I feel like I felt from my conversation actually with some people today, and just, I believe, the leading of the Holy Spirit, to deal with this issue, the will of God. Now, folks, ever since I've been a teenager, this is something that just comes up repeatedly. And I know all of you aren't teenagers tonight. Most of you are teenagers of one age or another. But most of us are settled in perhaps our life's direction. But what is the will of God? Is there a will of God for my life? Now, there's a book that just came out recently, and it was an excellent book, had a lot of good information in it. But often the way the book is, or the teaching is, comes across, is basically there is no will of God. You just do what you think you should do, and that'll be all right. Well, I somehow can't find that in my heart or in Scripture to believe that. It looks perfectly clear, as the Bible speaks here in verse 2, that there is a good, an acceptable, and a perfect will of God for the believer. Now, the question is not, does God have a will? If God can plan a plant or a sparrow's fall, then certainly God has a plan for me. The question is, how do I do what God wants me to do? And how do I determine what God has for me to do? Is it possible that I've missed it and all of my life I've been doing the wrong thing? Well, let's talk about a few principles. And I think that this chapter is a tremendous chapter that deals with the will of God. And it's not just verses 1 and 2. Following right after verse 2, and this is profound, comes verse 3. Now, I know that's profound. Brother Philip, you can quote me on that. Listen, this passage here is dealing with this principle of the surrender. Let me give you some general principles about the will of God. First of all, we have consecration. That's what we normally preach when we're talking about Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Paul here says, I exhort you, I beseech you, I beg you, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Give your body, your being, yourself. God wants our bodies because when he gets our bodies, basically he gets us. Wherever our bodies go, the rest of us tends to follow. God says, that is your reasonable service. The most reasonable thing in all the world is for me to consecrate, to sacrifice my life to the Lord. The Lord talks about in the process of this living sacrifice, he defines it for us, telling us that this living sacrifice englobes a non-conformity to the world, but a transformation of our minds, which leads, of course, to a transformation of our lives, so that we will then do that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Consecration is the beginning point. This morning, as we finish the message, Pastor pointed out from 2 Corinthians chapter 8 that these Macedonians, when they were asked to give in helping these needy Jerusalem Christians, they didn't do what Paul asked them to do the way he thought they would do it. Because instead of immediately coming forward with money, they first gave themselves to the Lord. That's the beginning point of knowing God's will and doing God's will in your life. There is a consecration of life. And this means, as first verses 1 and 2 tell us, abandoning the idols of our heart. The problem with me in doing God's will is that I have a will. And I want to do my will. That's the most important thing for me. I love myself. And I have cherished in my heart idols, sinful desires, selfish desires, willful desires. Not everything that I might plan would be necessarily sinful. Not everything that I would plan would necessarily be wrong. But some of those idols of my heart are just simply things that I desire for me and for my life. And God calls upon every Christian to lay before Him at His altar those idols of your heart. The Lord is, as I said this morning, is not trying to add to our discomfort and to make us miserable. But we take it that way, don't we? I know that in my life, probably in yours, often as we think about the will of God, the first thing that comes to my mind is, be careful now. Because if you surrender your life to the will of God, God may do something terrible to you. Now, I know that that is obviously wrong, but isn't that what we think? Be careful about this. I mean, don't get too close. You let God take control, and the next thing you know, I mean, you might end up in Brazil or something. And that would be a disaster, wouldn't it? God's plan is for His glory and my good. And my greatest joy, the greatest possible sum of joy and enjoyment that I can possibly have in my existence is to do the will of God. Anything else is loss. And therefore, God calls upon us first to abandon the idols of our heart and live a servant's life. That's what verses 1 and 2 are talking about. A life of service for God and others. Now, we could stop there tonight, and most of the time when we preach about this issue, that's where we do stop. And that's a pretty good summation of the will of God for our lives. Turning over to God our wishes and desires and pledging ourselves to serve Him and to serve others. But you know, as we go through the rest of this passage, there's quite a bit more that we can add to this general list of principles. Not just consecration, but there's an issue of information. That is, often as we are going through life, we find ourselves between equally good options. You are looking for a job. You are looking for a church. And sometimes it's not always easy to know where you should go or what step you should take. Well, there's an information issue. Now, Paul here, as he goes on in this chapter, starts taking us through a list of things. Read with me verse 3. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, but we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. I want you to see right here immediately the connection between the local church and the will of God. This is the context. Part of discovering the will of God is your involvement in a local church. No Christian that is separated from the local church voluntarily is in the will of God. I don't care what he says he's doing. I don't care what he thinks he's doing. The first step for a believer is fellowship with a body of believers. We are not members ourselves. We are members of a body. We're part of the body of Christ, which has as its local visible manifestation churches like this one right here. Would you like to know the will of God for your life? Okay. Well, start in a couple of ways. Number one, obviously reading God's Word. You have to know what God's will is. As we read through here, you'll see at the end of this passage, there's a whole list of admonitions. We're to avoid that which is evil, cleave to that which is good, be kindly affectionate one to another, brotherly love, honor preferring one another, not slothful in business. There's a list here of biblical principles for us to follow. These are kind of those knee-jerk. The Lord wants to teach us a list of knee-jerk reactions so that when things happen, we just do them. I mean, if your car gets a flat tire, you probably have a knee-jerk reaction. You either dial for help if you need help, or you go out and change the tire. You don't have to pray, now, Lord, what should I do in this situation? honey, the Lord told me that you should go out and change the tire. Okay. What's God's will? Well, you don't have to think about that. It's an obvious reaction. The Lord gives us in His Word a series of commands. That's God's will. The will of God, many times, is the Word of God. You just learn what God wants you to do, and you do it. And you know what to do when the situation comes up. If you have been informed, if you know what God says. God wants us to know His Word. God wants us to trust His promises. But also here, God wants us to know ourselves. And that's what verses 3, 4, and 5 are talking about. What am I really like? What are my strengths? What are my weaknesses? What sins am I prone to? What is my relation to my local church? How do I fit in? What are the needs? How can I fit in? What are my duties? These are obvious concerns for us to do the will of God. Learning what the will of God is for my life is learning where I fit into my church. If you're a member of this church, if this is your church home, you need a ministry. Now, that's not to say that every ministry is alike. They're not. This church is full of people of every age group, of various different backgrounds. Each of us has a different ministry to perform in the local church, but everyone is a member. Some of us, and some at a certain age, will be more recipients of ministry. New believers will be recipients of instruction and discipleship. Older members may get to the point they need help, somebody to pick them up, somebody to get them to church, someone to take care of them, to watch over them. And then there's a large group in the middle that is serving one another. Where do you fit into this local church? What is your ministry? You ought to be able to think almost immediately when that question is made, what is your ministry? Something ought to come to mind. Well, my ministry is this, and I do this, and I do this. Well, now, I'm not here to tell you what that ministry is, but I am saying we ought to be informed. We ought to be meditating and searching out in our church an opportunity, a place to be serving. We need to be honest with ourselves. Don't think highly. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to be the pastor. Well, no, okay, now there's a couple of thoughts here. Basically, there's one pastor and staff here, all right? Now, that sort of rules out everybody being the pastor of the church. There's a list, though, of ministries that are performed. And it's not a complete list. It's a list that suggests more than completes. These are services that we perform. It talks about here the gift of prophecy, that is foretelling the Word of God. There's a ministry which is service. There's a ministry of teaching. There's a ministry of exhortation. There's a ministry of giving. There's a ministry of ruling. That's the leader of the church. These aren't gifts. Showing mercy is another one of the ministries that's performed. And again, it's not a complete list. It's just suggested. Whatever you're doing, then do it with all your heart. Whatever you're doing, do it well. What does God want you to do? Well, I'll tell you this. He has a plan within this local church for you to perform. Do it. Look for it. Find it. That is the will of God for your life. Now, we can talk about prayer, supplication, continuing instant in prayer, verse 12. And obviously, as we're seeking God's will for our lives and ministry, we are praying about this constantly. Jesus prayed to His Heavenly Father. He said, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. This is part of our prayer. But there's also an issue of consultation. And there's not a specific verse here, but except that we can use by inference the fact that there is leadership in the church that rules. There is leadership that exhorts. There are ministry of exhortation and helping. One of the things we do as we seek for God's will for our lives is asking godly people where I fit in. If you're a young person and you're saying, boy, I really want to serve the Lord. How can I serve the Lord? Go to your youth pastor. God put him there for you. Go to your parents. Ask spiritual people who can give you good advice. This is the way the body of Christ works. You don't go out on a mountaintop and fast and pray for 3 weeks and wait on lightning to strike you. I promise you, if you fast for 3 weeks, and you will see some things. It's a little shorter if you just stick your finger in the electrical outlet. That would be a faster way of getting the same result. God put us in a church, and the church is to help each other. We're a body. Oh, my hand hurts. Well, the other hand just helps it and rubs it and kisses it. I don't like it when my hand hurts. Well, this is the body of Christ. And when one member is hurting, the other members are helping. I remember when I had been here 5 years. When I came to Buffalo Ridge, I said, I'm going to stay at least 5 years. I said, I don't think I said it to the pastor, but I said it to myself. I said it to my wife. I had heard that the average lifespan of a youth pastor was about 8 months in a church. And so I said, I'm staying for 5 years. In 5 years, I'll know whether I've done anything or not. But at 5 years, I also turned 30. And I went to Preacher Lastly. I thought, okay, I've been here 5 years. I'm 30 years old. Jesus was 30 years old. That must mean something. And I said to Preacher, I'm 30. I've been here 5 years. Should I leave? Should I look for a church? And Preacher gave me good counsel. And one of the things he did say to me was to talk to another pastor who was here with us at the time. And basically they both said the same thing was, no, don't go anywhere. Well, I was all worked up. I had myself pretty much on the verge of doing something. And they calmed me down and said, wait on the Lord. And one advice was send my address, my telephone number to the Holy Spirit. And whenever he wanted to get in touch with me, he would call. And so I did. I sent my telephone number to the Holy Spirit, and he didn't call for about 3 more years. Well, listen, consultation, talking to spiritual needs, but asking about the needs. Look at verse 13. Distributing to the necessity of the saints. There's a whole list of here. Hospitality, people that are in difficulty, people that are moving through. The missionaries this week have been recipients of hospitality from this church. What are the needs? Brother Pastor Jody has been preaching to us and talking to us about looking for needs. He's saying, I'm not going to start a ministry. I want you to find a ministry, something the Lord lays on your heart. This cancer ministry came up because somebody said, that needs to be done. Somebody ought to do that. Who is going to do that? And the Lord said, you are. And people have taken this need up as a ministry. That's how we determine, in great part, God's will. There's a point I'd like to call decision. As we see these needs, as we talk to our leaders, as we talk to our spiritual advisors, as we minister in the local church, then the Lord helps us to make a decision. Now, sometimes the decision has to be made immediately. I talked about the flat tire. You know, there may be a disaster, and there are members of this church that the pastor can call on in an emergency. Praise the Lord for those people. I remember when I was bus director, there were certain men I could always call if I needed a bus to be driven. I'm sure Brother John's got a short list too. You need them, and thank the Lord that there were folks just ready. Immediate needs. There's sometimes decisions have to be made. Sometimes I, as a pastor or as a Christian, there's certain things just have to be done. But sometimes there's a certain amount of time, an element of time. Sometimes a young person is approaching graduation from high school. He's obviously going to be thinking about what's the next step? What do I do? Well, there's a good point where he needs to be examining himself. What does God want me to do? He's praying. He's asking the Lord. He's supplicating the Lord about his future. He's talking to his pastor. He's talking with the youth pastor. He's talking to his parents. And seeking God's guidance about the next step. Maybe you've lost your job. Well, that is certainly a terrible thing to experience. And yet at the same time, the Lord is not caught by surprise. He knew all about it. And so the Lord is perhaps laying in front of you, obviously laying in front of you, an opportunity. What does God want me to do right now? Sometimes we want to get out and invent a deadline. That was an illustration of what I just said. At 30 years old, I said, okay, I'm 30, therefore I must go do something. There was no reason for that. That was an artificial deadline set by me. And thank the Lord, I had Pastor Lashley say, well, you know, just hang in there. Stay calm. But also seeking the Lord's will and making the decision. There comes a moment at times we just have to make our decision. That's why I talked about these verses 9 through 12. These were kind of automatic, planned, in advance reactions. You know, if you'll think through some of these things, and if you'll imagine yourself going through some of these things, when we get angry, often it's because we haven't planned ahead what we're going to do under temptation. You haven't said, you know, if I find myself in a situation like that, I'm leaving immediately. Good advice. Plan ahead so you know the thing to be done, the decision that needs to be made. God helps us as we make these decisions. One last point I'd like to mention is that is expectation. As we think about the will of God, and as a person says, okay, I believe best I know how, the Lord is calling me into this ministry in the church here. The Lord is calling me into this type of profession. The Lord is calling me to be a missionary. We make these decisions in our hearts. The Lord lays this burden upon us. Well, then there's an element of expectation. Because determining God's will, one thing is for sure, things will happen. Things will happen that help us along this line. Now, sometimes the things that happen are hard things. We look here in verse 14, bless them that persecute you, bless and curse not. Paul's saying, hey, listen, you will suffer persecution. Don't be surprised by it. Don't be surprised when things go wrong. But make up your mind ahead of time that you'll bless and not curse. Hard things happen. Verse 20 says, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. The will of God, as we go through it, often leads us to hard things. We can expect that things are going to happen. Let me give you just some advice. You're saying, I want to know the will of God. Young person, older person, whether you're thinking about lifetime ministry or ministry in the church, just start serving God. Look for something that needs to be done, and you will see the providential hand of God working. You just start. Brother Paul talked about going into that bar when he couldn't even speak Portuguese and just reading the verse. Isn't it a coincidence? How lucky of him that there was a man there who heard him and was touched and was led to Christ. Boy, isn't that a coincidence, Brother Paul? Well, of course it isn't. You see, as we go about the will of God, God's providential dealings are at work. Because you see, the Lord is at work all in our lives. Everywhere we go, God is working. Everywhere we go, God is working. And as we honestly and under leadership of the Holy Spirit and of our church and of our spiritual leaders step out by faith to do God's will, God does things. It happens. I think one of the amazing things in life as we start churches is how often as we start churches in a neighborhood and essentially we're just making the best decision we can, and yet people spring up and it's as though they've been waiting on us to arrive. They're ready for the gospel. Well, now how did that happen? Well, it's the will of God, the providence of God operating. We heard about the family who bumped into somebody here and showed up at church. We had a family join our church in Catapiquiba. Their car broke down in front of our church. So they came in. And I visited them and they said, well, you know, that was nice. It was really different. But they disappeared. 6 months later, they called me late at night and the wife said, we can't get away from that visit we made to your church. Could we come back again? I said, okay. Listen, providence operates. God's hands at work. You can expect God to work. Let me give you five things. You say, Brother Graham, I'm thinking about the will of God. Okay, let me give you five things that are God's will for your life. These are part of those automatic things. But if you'll do these things, you'll have a year different than any year you've ever had. First, be actively engaged in your church ministry. Just make up your mind. You know, I'm going to find something I can do. Maybe a small thing. Maybe it's just taking the prayer cards from the missionaries home and praying through them. Maybe you call up the church and say, hey, who's on the hospital list today, and praying for them. I don't know what the ministry of God would lead you to do, but there's something everybody can do that wants to do it. Be actively engaged, not just attending, engaged in the church's ministry. This is your body. Be involved. Number two, read the Bible in a year. Now, you've never heard that before, I know, but I'll say it again anyway. Read the Bible. Just make a plan. Hey, you know what? I'm going to read the Bible. Now, you might not make it. You might not make it in a year. You might get to about Numbers chapter 2 and then, you know. You might get to 2 Chronicles. I don't know where. You might stop. But listen, if you start reading the Bible, you'll have read a whole bunch. And if you have a little difficulty, go to the New Testament and start there first. But just make a plan. You know what? I'm going to be a Christian who knows his Bible. I'm going to read the Bible this year if you've never done it. And of course, obviously, many of you have. Number three, pray for the world and the needs of the world. And that means locally. It means globally. Pray for your missionaries. Pray for the needs in the church. Pray for your pastor. Pray for the buses. Pray for the staff. Pray for each other. Make prayer a part of your life. Number four, sacrifice financially for a specific purpose. And guess what? We're talking about faith promise. Listen, most of us really never sacrifice. Make a sacrificial gift to the work of God. As a family, you're doing this now, I hope already, but a specific purpose. This is our faith promise commitment. We're going to do this. A lifestyle changing kind of sacrifice. Something that costs. As a Christian, as an individual, as a family, you'll say, this is what we will do for God. This is our determination this year. And lastly, go on a mission trip. Now, let me qualify that just a little bit. Now, we'd love to have you come. You saw David Fox on there. I hope you recognized him. He brought his church down, and Pastor's already talking about making a trip to Brazil. We hope that is realized very soon. But when I say make a mission trip, what I really mean is to step out of your comfort zone into some other context. Your mission trip could be a prison ministry involvement. It could be a bus ministry. I rode with Brother Ed during Bible school, and Brother Ed has a mission field. It's in Johnson City. And Brother Leroy, and several of you others. But they don't have to be the only ones who have that mission field. It could be that you'd come to a mission field like ours. I met a family, there was visitors here today, and as I recognized them carrying a cup. That's a good way to recognize visitors. Anybody carrying a cup, you should tackle and talk to. And I caught them on the sidewalk, and they were ecstatic. They loved the service today. Well, I'm glad they loved the service today. And they said, we'll be back. We want to come for the Sunday school. We want to see what the Sunday school's like. I told them to go to, well, no, I won't tell them who I told them. Okay. They said, listen, we need to step out. These people, though, what I meant to say about them, they have just retired from a ministry of traveling around in their RV and visiting ministries and staying with those people for a period of time and helping them with maintenance needs and other things. I thought, man, what a great ministry. They were essentially missionaries helping Christian schools and helping churches and helping other ministry needs. Isn't that a challenge for somebody to take? But listen, five things. Be actively engaged in your church. Read your Bible. Pray. Make prayer a part of your life where you're praying for local as well as global needs. Sacrifice financially for the work of God. And then get out of your comfort zone. Go on a mission trip. Even if it's just a Kingsport. This week I read a blog. It was a comment about Acts chapter 1 verse 8. And of course you know that's where the Lord repeats, or in Acts chapter 1, essentially the Great Commission. And this blog writer said that Acts 1:8 is not for us. He said, well, it's for the apostles. And they've already fulfilled it. So essentially, we don't have anything to do. This is Portuguese for, whatever. I don't think that's so. Because even if the apostles evangelized the world in their era, it's not evangelized anymore. Obviously, there is a need. Here's our principle. You want to know the will of God? Go to the need. Go to the need. As you find the need, you'll find God's will. Lord lays on your heart something. And wherever you go, God is already working. You say, well, Brother Graham, I'm just torn. Well, now, let's think logically here. If you looked for a need and you worked to do God's will in fulfilling that need, could you go very far wrong? I mean, how far off could you be if you went after helping, serving God and serving others? My friends, world evangelization has not taken place, nor will it take place without the expenditure of blood and treasure and effort. And this is said to us, the people of God. What will we do for Jesus' sake? Let's pray. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It could be that in the midst of this missions conference, God has called someone to the mission field. Praise God. That we'd love to see it. There could be someone tonight says, you know, the Lord has broken through to me in the midst of my life, and I believe He has something specific and definite in the way of larger ministry around the world. And I say, here am I, Lord, send me. If the Lord's spoken to you like that, we'd sure love to know and pray with you and work with you. Is there anyone that at the end of this mission conference says, God has challenged my heart? And I'm saying, Lord, here am I. I'm not sure maybe even exactly at this point what it means or where I'll be. But I do feel that God is working on my life. Anyone like that, we'd love to know. At the end of this, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. We'd love to see and love to know, love to help. But perhaps you say, well, Lord, Brother Graham, I don't believe the Lord's called me away, but He has called me to minister, and God helping me, I'm going to minister. I'm going to be useful to God in our local body. Anyone like that? Say, Brother Graham, I want to find my spot of ministry and want to do it. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else that I'm not seeing? Lord, we give our lives to you. We present ourselves, our bodies, all that we have and all that we are. And we trust you, Lord, to use us for your glory and our good. Take us, we pray. Make your will clear. In Jesus' name, we pray.
Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I'm just going to play through softly here. If the Lord's dealing with you, I'd like you to leave your place and come talk to the Lord about it. Might be somebody who's recently been saved, but you've never made it public. Come on, talk. Don't be ashamed of it. Might be somebody seeking the Lord's will. You come and pray and talk to the Lord. I'd like to ask the men who are getting ready to give out the faith promise cards, if you'll go ahead and come forward. We'll be ready for this in just a moment. Maybe the Lord has pricked your heart, talking to you, speaking to you about what He has for your life, what you're doing. I promise you, if you want to know, the Lord will show you. While folks are praying, if you're still seated, I'd like you to look this way. There's folks praying, and they're just going to keep playing through. This morning we began our faith promise commitment cards. And some of you may have taken a card and you've prayed about it, sought the Lord, and brought it back with you tonight. Or maybe some of you are out of the service this morning and you need a copy of this. If you do not have a copy of the faith promise commitment card, as the men make their way up the aisle, if you wouldn't mind just to raise your hand, if you need a copy of this card, just get their attention when they come past you. Hang on to it just for a moment. Just for a moment. Brother Graham, if you wouldn't mind to come back up here just a moment and just take very, very briefly here, just explain this card to our folks and what it is, what it's not. It's not a pledge, all those kind of things. Weekly amount.
It's not a pledge. Faith promise is a commitment that you make to God. It's not a commitment made to the church. It is a record for the church so the church can make their plans based on our giving. But it is a commitment you make between yourself and the Lord, led by the Holy Spirit, to determine a weekly amount, whether you give it monthly or yearly even. Still, you'll put on the card the weekly amount that you are going to be committing before God for world evangelism missions. As you fill out this card, you do not have to put your name on it. There is a space there, but you're not required. No one will ever come after you and say, hey, where is the money you promised? Because this is between you and the Lord. But as you fill this out, you're putting this amount down. It enables the church to make plans so that we can take on some of these missionaries that were here this week. Write on the card, prayerfully put the amount, and then ask God to help you to meet the need.
Amen. The key word there is prayerfully. And if you're ready to put that down, we want you to do that tonight and just start passing them into the aisles here. If you're not ready for this tonight, we're going to leave this open for several weeks because I want you to pray about it. Seek the Lord about this thing. And it could be that you put a certain amount down and then God adds to it. There'll be an opportunity to do that. But if you're ready for this, if you wouldn't mind to go ahead and write these down, the men are going to come forward and let's just go ahead and start collecting some of these. And whenever we get them, if you'll just pass them to the aisles here, if you're ready for it, and then these young men will come by and grab these. And when we have them, if you'll just start bringing some of them up here to me, that would be great. I hope everybody who feels like this is the church where God has you to come, I'm challenging you above your tithe that you get involved in Faith Promise. Now, the thing is this. Our building renovation is getting ready to get started here in a couple of weeks or so. But I remind you what I said, that if you're making a choice between the building renovation and Faith Promise, forget the building renovation. If you're right now thinking to yourself or praying and saying, I can give to one or the other, but I can't give to both, then do not give to the building renovation. Give to missions. This is our heartbeat. Even though we're looking forward to those brand new bathrooms, who cares in eternity? Amen. That's the truth. Give to missions. Nobody's going to check you on it or know who's giving or not giving. I mean, obviously our secretaries are counting, but we're not going to know who's giving and who's not. I'm talking about myself. This is between you and the Lord. And once we start getting some of these cards, somebody bring them down here to me if you wouldn't mind. Unless they've already been taken upstairs.
They've been taken upstairs?
Great. Whenever you're ready, you just go ahead. That's good. Just bring them down here to me, okay?
A little bit of confusion. That's my fault.
Amen. If there's some more, you just pass them in here, and that'll be good. I'm just going to call these out. You just keep playing, okay? $20. $10. These are weekly amounts. $45. Just wave at me if I go too fast, okay? $8. $15. $3. $1.05. Amen. $25, $15, $41, $600, $50, $10, $3, $45, $10, $15, 50 cents, amen, $10.20, $7.50, $125, $40, $5, $5. What's that total right there? $247,000. Amen. Are there any others? Any others? Any others? I realize if you're the only one that you're probably not going to raise your hand at this moment. I understand that. And all these kind of things. For one day in God's house, I believe heaven's rejoicing in this, don't you? $247.91. We'll leave this open now for several weeks, at least 3 weeks, maybe longer than that. Because there's some folks I'm sure who are still praying about it and still seeking the Lord. And there's others who are not here today and God willing will get involved. This is exciting business, isn't it? And I'm encouraging you with this. Not a dime of this stays in this church. Not one dime. Not one cent. This is above the tithe. And this is strictly to get the gospel message around the world. And we're excited about this good start right here. This is a great start, folks. Praise the Lord for it. I hope you're rejoicing in your heart. And if you've not gotten involved and so on, I encourage you to do so. You'd be much in prayer about it. I remind you tonight, immediately after this service, our missionaries will be back over in the gymnasium one final time with their displays. As a matter of fact, let's just go ahead and make sure that they get over there, please. So on. Okay. Teen and parent meeting next Sunday after the evening service. Tonight's countries for your children to get their stamps are the United States, that is the galleons. You'll be having that stamp. And then Thailand at the passport table. That's where Brother Bob is going to be sitting, I believe. And we've got corn dogs, and yes, they are Clifford Page's corn dogs, I believe. Am I right by saying that? Clifford's corn dogs. That sounds like a franchise starting right there, you know. We want you to get one, even if you can't stay long. We understand that. But even if you can't, please go through and just grab a corn dog, say God bless you, and go on down the road. We want you to stay if you can, especially all the kids. It's a wonderful start, folks. Amen. And we know the Lord's pleased with it. And this is between you and the Lord here. All right, let's all stand together. We'll be dismissing a word of prayer. Speak to somebody on your way out as soon as we say amen here. We'll bless the food here. That way you don't have to worry about it over there. And that'll be good. All right? Let's pray together. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for your goodness to us. Bless this food that we're about to receive. Thank you for this great start to Faith Promise. $240-some-thousand-dollar commitment. I pray that you'll help us now in the coming weeks, Lord, to even go above our goal, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please go by the gym. God bless you. If you're a first-time guest, take your visitor's card out to the Welcome Center.